The following previews are of Graphic Audio Productions, rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Be proud before the gods, for blood and rank are thine, and...
Kilaf is alive, and he wields such power. Roxxon must know.
Bow to Allah, swear to Allah.
O great ones, speak to us.
Jen, Archer, Sharansky, we're going to Africa. We got a message from Rahala. Says it's vitally important. Kilaf's got this weapon that can move mountains.
Doomsday Warrior 15, American Ultimatum.
So this is how it all ends.
Whoa, shit! Did that elephant just shoot a fucking laser at me?
Available now from Graphic Audio.
Having saved Sweet Apple, Texas from disaster, the Blood Brothers, Matt Bodine and Sam Two Wolves, decide to stay and help the new marshal, Seymour the Lily-Livered Standish, break in his spurs.
Hello, Uncle Cornelius. Miss Jimerson.
Hello, Seymour. I don't mean to stare, it's just that...
You look like a character out of a dime novel.
I'm not sure how well-suited we are for an adventure like this.
I don't give a damn about that. Just make sure that little bastard dies.
What are you doing over here, Colton? You know you're not welcome on this ranch.
I've come for justice. Two of my men were murdered earlier today, but I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, am I, Paxton?
Seymour, don't you understand? Don't you know how I feel about you?
Rebecca, I thought we had settled this.
You! I knew you were up to no good! You trollop!
Maggie! Rebecca! Stop! Stop that!
Between catfights, range wars, and attempts on Seymour's life, the new marshal and his unofficial deputies have got their hands full. But the dance is just beginning.
Alcazario!
They took the girls!
Sandy! Those bastards took Sandy!
And Jesse!
Matt! They're gone!
You mean Miss Orion?
And Miss Jimerson! They're both gone!
Now Seymour, Matt, and Sam must lead a posse across the Rio Grande to find the kidnapped women before Alcazario can realize his evil plans for them. But some of the rescuers have plans of their own, and the Marshal of Sweet Apple may have led his last posse. Blood Bond number 12, Ride for Vengeance, new from Graphic Audio.
And now, for our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Thank you.
Graphic Audio presents William W. Johnstone's The Last Gunfighter. Narrated by Ken Jackson. With performances by James Konacek, Karen Carbone, Stephen Carpenter, Andy Clements, Christopher Graybill, Richard Rowan, Terrence Acel Ford, James Lewis, Michael John Casey, Michael Replogle, Mort Shelby, David Coyne, Michael Glenn, Thomas Penny, Dylan Lynch, Johann Detweiler, Elizabeth Demery, Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Nathaniel Perry, Brian Patton, and Greg Reinfeld. The Last Gunfighter, number 4, The Forbidden.
Someone had painted out the names of the two towns on the signpost at the crossroads. Beneath one of the painted out names was scrawled Heaven. Beneath the other, Hell. From where Frank sat his saddle at the crossroads, Heaven was 5 miles to the south, Hell 5 miles to the north. Frank looked at Wolf, sitting off to the right at the edge of the road.
Want to go to Heaven or Hell, Wolf? Well, in some ways, Hell might be more interesting. But Heaven sure sounds peaceful to me.
Wolf sat and stared unblinkingly at him.
Let's try Heaven, Wolf. Probably about as close as I'll ever get to the real thing.
Before Frank could lift the reins and head for the town of Heaven, the rattling and rumbling of a wagon turned his head. A heavily loaded freight wagon approached from the east.
Howdy, mister.
Afternoon. You going to Heaven or Hell?
According to the preacher, I'm hellbound for my final haul, but today I'm going to Heaven.
Mind if I ride along with you?
Not at all. Glad to have the company. That's your dog?
He is. Name is Wolf.
Fitting name, I reckon. It looks mean.
He'll bite a biscuit if you butter it.
Mind if I ask your name?
Frank.
I'm Luke, Frank. Glad to meet you and Wolf. When we get to Heaven, I'll let you buy me a drink. How's that sound?
They serve whiskey in Heaven?
It sounds strange, don't it? Yep, they do. They got everything a regular town has, except in soiled doves.
No whores, huh?
Not nary a one. Lessen you know where to look, that is.
Frank proceeded on toward Heaven, putting Hell behind him, for the time being. Heaven was a pleasant little town with a single long street, a half dozen or so shops and stores on each side. Two saloons, one on each side of the street, a hotel, a cafe, a huge general store, a livery, a ladies dress and hat shop, a leather and gun shop, a barber and bath place, and several other smaller shops. There was nothing to distinguish it from dozens of other small western towns Frank had passed through over the years.
Yeah, folks is real friendly in Heaven, if you ain't working for them people over in Hell, that is.
I'm not working for anybody, just drifting.
You sure look familiar to me, Frank, and you seem like a right nice feller. I hope I'm right on that last count.
Luke, all I want is a bath, a haircut, a meal I don't have to cook myself, somebody to wash and press my clothes, and a soft bed to sleep in. Then I'm gone.
You can get all them things done in Heaven, Frank. I got to pull around to the back of the general store and unload. I'll see you around, maybe.
I reckon so, Luke.
Frank rode over to the livery, very conscious of many eyes on him. Not unfriendly eyes, just curious.
Rub him down and feed him good. Wolf will stay in the stall with him. Don't try to pet Wolf unless he comes up to you and acts like he wants to be petted. He might snap at you. And don't get behind horse. He kicks. Matter of fact, he bites, too.
Is there anything else them critters do I need to be warned about?
No, that's about it.
Well, that's enough.
You got a secure place for my gear?
Oh, sure. I got a storeroom yonder that'll keep locked.
Fine. I'll check back later.
You gonna be in town long?
Couple of days.
Looking for anyone special?
No, just a quiet place to relax for a day or two.
No, you look familiar to me. You ever been here before?
Never have.
It'll come to me. I never forget a face.
Maybe so.
Frank gathered up his trail-worn clothes and walked across the street to the Chinese laundry next to the bath and barber shop.
So far, so good. Found a place where no one knows me. For a time, anyway. Somebody'll ride up who recognizes me. Always do. Oh, I'd better enjoy the peace while it lasts.
Frank Morgan was just about the last of a vanishing breed, the gunfighter. It was a title he never wanted and never sought. There were a few men like him still around, but for the most part, many of the West's gunfighters were dead or dropped out of sight by changing their names. Mostly dead. Frank dropped his clothes off to be washed and pressed, then walked over to the general store and bought some new black breeches, a red and white checkered shirt with a black bandana to top it all off. He went next door to the barber shop and had a good hot bath, washing days of trail dust off him. Got a haircut and a shave while a boy polished up his boots. Frank buckled on his gun belt and left the shop smelling and looking better than he had in days. Frank figured he could work on his nearly shapeless hat himself and get it back looking halfway decent. If he couldn't, he'd throw the damn thing away and go buy a new one. Frank certainly didn't need to watch his pennies. He was a wealthy man for the time, due to his late wife's leaving him a percentage of her company's earnings in her will. The company that her father had left her was vast, with various holdings all over North America. Frank's trusted attorney and banker were doing a wonderful job handling all his money. Frank got a room at the hotel, registering under the name Moran, enjoyed an early, quiet, and very good supper at the Blue Moon Cafe, and lingered over several cups of fine coffee.
That was a mighty fine meal, ma'am. Some of the best coffee I've had in a long time.
Most everything is homegrown, sir. The south part of the long series of the valleys is all farm and sheep country, with a few small ranches here and there, mostly owned by men who also farm.
Frank tensed at the word sheep. He hoped the waitress didn't notice. It seemed she didn't, as she went right on, praising the south end of the series of valleys.
The north end, past the crossroads, is all cattle ranches.
Whose idea was it to change the names of the towns to heaven and hell?
I don't know. That was done several years ago, and the names just sort of stuck.
She refilled Frank's coffee cup and went off to wait on other customers who were coming in for an early supper. Frank rolled a cigarette and sat for a time, very conscious of the furtive glances cast his way from other men in the cafe. He finally met the eyes of a man staring at him.
Afternoon.
Howdy. Forgive me for staring. We don't get many visitors to our town. Any new face draws attention, but we don't mean to be impolite.
It's all right. Doesn't bother me at all. You have a nice town.
Thank you. Our town is very peaceful, just the way we like it.
I can appreciate that. I need to thank the freight driver for turning me south instead of north at the crossroads.
And north would have taken you straight to hell. It's a nice enough town, I suppose, but it can get rowdy sometimes.
Lives up to its name, huh?
At times, yes. It's a cattle town, but I suppose you already knew that.
I guessed, from what the waitress told me.
You just passing through?
Yep. Needed some supplies and a bath.
Frank left it at that, wondering how far the citizen would push it. Frank hoped not far, for pushing was something he didn't like.
I'm the banker, John Simmons.
Frank.
Just Frank?
No, I have a last name.
Well, what is it?
I don't figure that's any of your business. But if you're that nosy, you can go back and look at the hotel register.
I might just do that.
Go right ahead. Hotel is right over yonder across the street. Any fool can find it.
Are you calling me a fool?
No. Just said any fool can find the hotel.
Settle down, George. We're a little edgy, Frank. I guess strangers bring that out in us.
Oh, why's that?
You stay around, Frank. You'll find out.
I might just do that.
I told you he was working for him.
I'm not working for anybody. And I'm not looking for a job. So put that out of your mind.
Yeah, you say.
You calling me a liar, George?
Steady, men. This is getting out of hand.
I'll take an apology.
You'll take nothing, Drifter, because that's what I'm giving.
Frank stood up. and the table of men all stared at the .45 caliber peacemaker slung low in leather and tied down.
Gunfighter, I knew it!
Are you?
I'm just a man with a tired horse who's looking for a warm bed and some relaxation. Nothing more. I'm sure as hell not looking for any gun trouble. I have a sore-pawed, worn-out dog with me, and he'd like to rest for a time, too.
Frank dropped some coins on the table for his meal and stepped back, away from the table.
Now, if you gentlemen will excuse me, I'll be on my way to the hotel. Would you let me have another one of those dinners to go?
You really must be hungry.
For my dog.
I'll get it for you.
A moment later, she returned with a good-sized sack of food.
Here you go. Hope your dog enjoys it.
I'm sure he will. Many thanks.
The customers watched as Frank left the cafe, Wolf's supper in a sack.
I don't trust him. He's working for the cattleman.
You don't know that for sure.
Tied down gun? That's a dead giveaway.
A lot of men tie down their pistols. Keeps the holster from flapping around.
What do you know about gun handlers, Paul? You're still green around here. Have you seen any gunfights?
I was in the war, George. I've seen plenty of men die.
Well, there's no pretty uniforms in this war, Paul. No bugles blowing, the fancy generals giving orders. This is a different kind of war.
Let's give the man a chance. But I have to say this, he sure looks familiar to me.
Same old crap, Wolf.
Frank unwrapped Wolf's supper and set it down in the stall. Wolf began eating the meat and bread. Frank found a bucket and filled it with fresh water from the pump.
Looks like we rode into a hornet's nest. We'll get rested up here and then hit the trail. I gotta find us another pack horse before we do, though. Then I'll provision up and we'll be on our way. Stay close to the livery now, you hear me?
Wolf looked up for a moment, then resumed his eating. Frank patted horse and then walked across the wide street to the saloon. He'd listen to the talk and maybe find out what was going on in the area. Though he felt he knew pretty well already. Cattlemen and farmers nose to nose over land use. Add sheep to that, and you had a damned explosive situation. Most of the men in the saloon wore low-heeled clodhopper boots or work shoes, pegging them as farmers right off the mark. Several of the men wore business suits with high shirt collars and neck pieces. Bankers, lawyers, store owners and such, Frank figured. Frank walked to the long bar of the now silent saloon.
Whiskey, please.
Ben began moving away from him. Frank secretly smiled. Nothing ever changes, he thought. A stranger shows up in a tense town, and citizen reaction is always the same. The bartender poured his whiskey and then moved away from him. Frank sipped his whiskey slowly, enjoying the bite of the after-supper drink. Frank Morgan was not much of a drinker, but he did enjoy a shot of whiskey or a cool glass of beer every now and then.
Damn that Circle Snake bunch! They'll not get away with it, boys. Bet on that.
Circle Snake?
Settle down, Peter. There might be unfriendly ears close by.
Frank knew they were referring to him.
I don't care. They can hire all the gunfighters they want. Don't make a bit of difference to me.
You know, he don't look so damn tough to me. Got some gray in his hair, too.
For a fact, he's no youngster.
Frank was in his mid-40s, just a bit over 6 feet tall. He was lean-hipped and broad-shouldered. His hands were big and calloused. His arms were packed with muscle. His hair, brown and thick, grayed at the temples. His eyes shone a strange pale gray color. Women considered him a very handsome man. Frank pushed back his hat and leaned on the polished bar, nursing his whiskey and listening as the talk continued.
I looked at the hotel registry. Frank Moran is the name he signed in the book.
I never heard of no gunslick by that name.
That's cause it probably ain't his real name.
The barkeep walked over to Frank.
Another drink, mister?
I'm all right with this one.
I knew I seen you somewhere, mister. It finally come to me. You're Frank Morgan.
That's right. I'm not here to cause any trouble.
I'd be surprised if you was. That ain't your style.
Any kind of luck, I'll be provisioned up and out of here in the morning. I don't want anything to do with the trouble in this valley.
Actually, it's half a dozen connecting valleys. But for a fact, trouble is coming.
Cattlemen and farmers. Same old story.
And now we got sheep.
More trouble. Cattlemen won't stand for that.
You telling me? I have to listen to it day after day.
Hey, Chubby, who's your friend?
A customer, Ben.
Y'all getting mighty close over there.
You got a problem with me talking to a customer?
Now, don't get all hot under the collar, Chubby.
Then mind your own business, George.
All right, Chubby, all right. Jesus, I'm sorry.
I shouldn't get mad at any of them. Things are really beginning to get nasty around here.
How?
Farmers and barns are getting burned by night riders. Shots have been fired at farmers in the field. Pretty soon it'll be crops getting destroyed. No one's been killed yet, but it's coming. Bet on it.
How about the law?
Frank, we never had any need for much law here in this town. We have a marshal, but he's only part-time and he's old. He don't even carry a gun. Oh, hell. Snake riders.
What are they doing in this town?
It's a free country, Frank. They can come and go as they please.
Well, looky here. Someone in this damn stinking sheep crap town is wearing a gun, boys. Reckon he knows how to use it?
Here we go.
Frank turned slowly to face the three cowboys.
The man sure ain't no sheep farmer. I think the clodhoppers done gone hired themselves a gun hand.
We haven't hired anybody.
The third cowhand had not yet spoken. He was intently studying Frank's face.
Back off, Eddie.
Why should I back off, Tom? It's just one man, and he don't look like much to me. What do you think, Carl?
Come to think of it, it looks sort of familiar to me.
You got a name, mister?
Frank.
Frank. Frank what?
Just Frank.
Hell, the man don't even know his last name!
Morgan. That's Frank Morgan.
Oh, hell! Frank Morgan's been retired for years, or dead. That ain't Frank Morgan, Tom.
Frank Morgan? Here in heaven?
Are you really Frank Morgan?
Yes, I am. But I'm not looking for any trouble. And I'm not looking for a job.
Then what the hell are you doing here?
Minding my own business, boy. Something you obviously can't or won't do.
I ain't no boy!
I'm gonna finish my drink. Leave me alone.
I just might decide to finish you!
You're a damn fool. Better put a leash on that pup.
He's a man growed up. He's got a right to speak his mind.
Frank turned away and picked up his shot glass with his left hand.
Don't you turn your damn ass to me, Morgan! By God, I don't take that from no man! Do you hear me, you old bastard?
Shut up, Eddie. Morgan ain't here to bother none of us.
He's bothering me, by God.
Set her down, boy.
Shut your mouth, fat man. This here's between me and Morgan. Ain't none of your affair.
There is nothing at all between us, Eddie. Have a drink on me and settle down.
To hell with you and your drink, old man. By God, I think you're trying to worm out of this. I think you lost your damn guts.
Don't push it, Eddie.
Or you'll do what, Morgan?
Eddie, let's get out of here. Drop this.
You may be the foreman on the job, Tom, but we ain't on the job. This is my business, not yours.
I'm out of this, Morgan.
Good.
By God, I ain't out of it. I'm with you, Eddie.
The batwing pushed open, and a man who looked to be in his late 60s or early 70s stepped in. There was a star on his chest and no gun on his hip.
What's going on here?
None of your damn business, old man. Stay out of it.
I'm the duly appointed law in this town, young man. This certainly is my business.
Come on, Eddie. This is stupid. If Morgan don't kill you, the colonel is sure to fire you over this.
This has-been ain't gonna kill me, Tom. No way. I can shoot his eyes out any time I take a notion to.
Frank knew the time for talking was nearly over. He'd been through this too many times in the past. Eddie was not going to back down. Frank turned slowly to face Eddie and Carl.
Now, just a minute here.
Stand clear, Marshal.
Morgan? Frank Morgan?
Yeah, Marshal, that's right.
Dear God in heaven, Frank Morgan.
He ain't jack crap, Marshal. He's an old, used-up has-been, nothing else. But you best stand clear. If Morgan manages to clear leather, ain't no telling where he's liable to throw lead after I shoot him. He'll be like a dog, biting at himself when he's dying.
Frank sized up the situation fast. He figured he'd better take Eddie out first, then Carl. Carl was getting edgy, maybe figuring he got himself into something he was now quickly realizing he'd been better off leaving alone. Eddie was ready for a fight, standing tense, his right hand hovering over the butt of his pistol.
I won't stand for this.
Shut up! Come on, Morgan, let's see how good you are.
It's your play, boy. I won't start this.
Yella! That's what you are, just plain yella. Drag iron! Damn you, draw on me!
You gotta start it, boy. Or don't, and live to be a man.
This is the man you clodhoppers hired? He's a coward, just like the rest of you pig farmers.
You got it all wrong, cowboy. We didn't hire Morgan.
You're a damn liar! Why else would a man like him come to this nothing town?
Just passing through, Eddie.
Liar! You're all damn liars, every one of you!
Eddie had worked himself into a killing rage. Nothing was going to stop him now. Tom backed up, out of the line of fire. He held his hand away from his gun. Frank waited. He was not going to pull on Eddie. Eddie would have to start this deadly showdown.
Damn you, Morgan! I'll make you hook and draw!
His hand closed around the butt of his pistol.
Now, you coward, pull iron!
The 45 caliber slug hit Eddie in the center of his chest. His feet flew out from under him, and he stretched out on the floor, his right hand still gripping the butt of his six gun.
Good Lord.
Morgan was so fast, I didn't even see him draw.
Don't shoot me, Morgan. I ain't gonna draw on you. I'm out of this.
Suits me. I didn't want any of this.
I'll go fetch the doctor.
Tom knelt beside the fallen Snake Rider. He knew gunshot wounds. There was nothing the doctor would be able to do. Eddie was near death and fading fast.
Did I get him?
Are you kidding?
I got him, didn't I?
Eddie, you just barely got your gun out of leather. Now lay quiet until the doc gets here.
It's really beginning to hurt, Tom. I'm hit hard, ain't I?
Yes, you are, Eddie. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I done messed up bad, didn't I?
I reckon you did.
It always happens, don't it, Frank? Folks just won't leave you alone, will they?
Seems that way, Chub.
You want another whiskey?
How about some coffee?
Coming right up.
Oh, hell's gonna break loose 'cause of this, Morgan.
Doesn't have to. I didn't start it.
That don't make no difference. Nobody kills a Snake Rider and walks scot-free away from it.
I don't intend to walk away. I intend to ride away.
Then you better saddle up and get on out right now, Morgan.
And nobody runs me out of any town.
Don't bet on that gunfighter. I'm telling you for your own good.
Tom, I'm really hurting something bad, Tom.
You're a dead man, Morgan. I'll kill you myself.
Don't let your butt overload your mouth, boy. Eddie came looking for trouble, and he found it. He brought this on himself. No need now for revenge talk.
I'd like to hear you tell the Colonel that.
I will if he has the grit to face me.
The Colonel? He's got the grit, Morgan. He was a hero in the war. Won all kinds of medals.
What war?
The Civil War.
Which side?
The right side, Morgan. Same side I was on. The Union side.
I was on the other side.
Figures. Damn Reb.
Tom, where's the doc?
Right here. I'm Dr. Everett, and you'd be Frank Morgan.
That's right.
I worked on what was left of two men who braced you down in Arizona some years back.
Did they live?
No.
The doctor knelt down beside Eddie and opened his bloody shirt. After quickly examining him, he took off his stethoscope and dropped it back into his bag, standing up.
Am I gonna live, Doc?
Not damn likely.
Well, that's a hell of a thing to tell a man.
I'm not going to lie to you, boy. The bullet went right through her lung and nicked the heart. You're filling up with blood, and there isn't a damn thing I can do. Your heart's gonna stop beating any minute now.
Damn.
You best make your peace with God. You want me to get the preacher?
I want you to get me a doc that knows what the hell he's doing. That's what I want.
I'm the only one in town, boy, and I know what I'm doing. You damn Snake Rider's finally met up with a man you can't push around, eh, Tom?
You go to hell, Everett. The Snake Ranch has got as much right to these valleys as anyone.
Nonsense, Tom. Everything the people here in the South End did was legal. They filed on their land and proved it up. Your brand and the other ranchers are in the wrong. And the sad thing is, you know it.
Has everyone done forgot about me? I'm dying and no one gives a damn.
Chubby, pour me a whiskey, please.
Where's the preacher?
The marshal's going to get him.
Oh, I wish he'd hurry. I need some comfort and... How much time do I have, Doc?
A few minutes. Maybe half an hour. Hell, you might live until dawn.
You're damn cold, Doctor. About the coldest I ever seen.
Are you planning on staying in town long, Morgan?
My plans are to pull out tomorrow after I provision up.
Maybe you should postpone your departure date.
Why?
Oh, things might get interesting around here if you'd stay.
I'm sure they would.
You have a reputation of fighting for the underdog, Morgan.
Only when pushed into it, Doctor.
A very large man lumbered into the saloon and looked around him, disapproval in his eyes.
What a horrid place!
Reverend Philpot. He needs your gentle words of comfort, preacher. He's a sinner of the first degree, and he's not long for this world.
Ah, go to hell, you old quack!
Here now, son. Don't let your spirit approach the glorious gates of forever with a curse on your lips.
But say a prayer or something.
The marshal pushed a chair over for Philpot to sit in. Good thing, Frank thought. If Philpot tried to squat down, it would take a dozen men to get him back on his feet.
Have you been saved, son?
I reckon. I was dunked in a creek by a lay preacher once.
Did you give your heart to God then?
I was in love with Drew Ella Simpson at the time.
Well, that's not exactly what I meant, boy.
Oh, we used to meet every Sunday behind the outhouse at church.
This is going to take a lot of preaching.
He doesn't have that much time. Can you make it the short version?
You're a heathen, Everett. You're a disgrace to your most honorable calling.
Is that coffee fresh, Morgan?
Tastes good to me.
I'll have some, Chubby.
I brought the choir with me, but I forbade any of the good ladies to enter this den of iniquity and impiousness.
This what? This ain't no whorehouse, preacher.
Be quiet! I'm preparing to ask the Lord to forgive this evil wretch on the floor and allow him entrance into his final home in the great beyond. Ladies! Some Christian music, if you will!
Well, that's a little traveling music, Eddie.
Frank had to grimace and shake his head at that. The doctor possessed a wicked sense of humor.
That isn't at all amusing, doctor.
It wasn't meant to be.
Quiet now. God, take this wretch in thy loving arms. Raise him up above this veil.
Won't be long now.
Let him fear no evil as he walks through the shadow.
Damn.
Just then, the bat wings pushed open, and the front of the saloon filled with men.
Colonel Trainer.
Oh, hell. Now we're sure gonna break loose.
I'll sure drink to that.
That's Frank Morgan. He's working for the Sodbusters.
The rancher looked over at Eddie.
Is he dead?
Yes. God rest his soul.
And somebody cover him up until we can remove the body.
Colonel Trainer turned his gaze toward Frank.
You're the infamous Frank Morgan?
I'm Frank Morgan. Who are you?
Colonel Trainer. I own the Circle Snake.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Morgan.
Frank turned away, facing the bar. He picked up his coffee cup and took a sip.
Don't turn your back to me, Morgan.
Why not? I don't have anything else to say to you.
You just gunned down one of my hands.
He started it. I finished it. Chubby, heat this up for me, if you please.
You picked the wrong side in this fight, Morgan.
I haven't picked any side, Trainer.
You say.
No one else speaks for me.
Colonel, you want me to hire a buckboard and carry Eddie's body back to the ranch? Yes, Tom, do that. We'll bury him tomorrow. Go with him, Carl. I'll question you about this incident in the morning.
Yes, sir.
A whiskey for me, Chubby.
Frank straightened up and looked at the rancher. Colonel Trainer was about Frank's height, but heavier and stocky, square-jawed and solid. Frank concluded the man would be hard to handle in a fight. Trainer sized up Frank more closely. He reached the same conclusion.
You're younger than I imagined you would be.
I expect we're about the same age.
I was in the war.
So was I.
I was on the winning side.
I was on the right side.
A damn traitorous rebel. You really haven't hired on with the farmers, Morgan?
No, Trainer, I haven't. And I don't plan on hiring on with anybody. I plan on pulling out in the morning.
Have they offered you a job?
Not yet.
They will.
I was going to suggest that, since the Snake brand is hiring gunslicks.
I'm hiring hands to work cattle, Doctor, not gun hands.
When did Jess Malone ever work cattle, Trainer?
Jess Malone? From New Mexico?
That's him. He rode in with four others a week ago. One of them is called Carson.
That would be Peck Carson. He runs with a man named Rondell. No good, both of them. Back shooters. Jess, not much better.
You know them?
We've crossed trails a time or two. They generally fight shy of me.
I'll be sure and tell them you said that, Morgan.
You do that.
We got Eddie loaded up, Colonel. All right, Tom. We'll all ride back together.
You'll be gone by noon tomorrow, Morgan.
I don't take orders since the war, Colonel.
You've been warned, Drifter.
And you heard my reply.
Trainer pushed away from the bar and walked out of the saloon, his men trooping out behind him. Frank made no mention of it, but he had recognized one of the Circle Snake's hands as a paid gun who sometimes went by the name Brooks. There was no doubt in Frank's mind that Trainer was hiring gunfighters. But was that any concern of his?
We need a town marshal, Morgan.
Sorry, Doc, I don't want the job. You have a telegraph here in town. Start sending wires around. You'll find a man for the job.
We are a prosperous town, Morgan. We could pay you well.
I really don't need the money, Doc.
So, what I heard from some lawyer friends of mine over in Denver is true.
Depends on what you heard.
You're a rich man.
Some say.
Yet you drift aimlessly.
I like to see the country, while I still can. Won't be many more years before barbed wire will be strung up all over the place.
I see. So you just drifted into this part of Montana?
Yeah, matter of fact, I did. I never dreamed any place like this was in this part of the territory.
It's unique, Morgan. And so are the people. About 10 or so miles farther on south, you'll find a colony, or settlement, if you will, of Hutterites.
Settlement of what?
A religious people. Nice folks. But they don't socialize much, and they don't bear arms at all.
They'll be the first to go then, if or when the shooting starts.
And that will be sad, for they're good people, model citizens. You'll know them when you see them, when they come to town. The men are dressed in suits, and the women in dark dresses and scarves. Good people. I like them.
Any of them been harmed?
Not yet, but it's coming.
I wish you lots of luck in dealing with this problem.
Well, to tell the truth, I was sort of hoping I could change your mind about leaving.
Isn't my fight, Doctor.
Well, if I don't see you again, best of luck, Drifter.
Same to you.
Frank checked on Wolf and Horse, then walked over to the hotel. He sat in a chair on the boardwalk in front of the hotel for a time, smoking and watching the town slowly shut down for the rapidly approaching night.
Pretty little town. Probably filled with good, hard-working people. But it isn't my fight. I don't want to get involved in it. So I'll just keep doing what, Frank? Drifting aimlessly. Yeah. Maybe this would be a nice place to settle down and build a home. And I get myself involved in the middle of this damn war. I don't want any more trouble in my life. Sure, that's a hell of a good reason to leave at first light. Just ride off and leave these good people at the not-so-tender mercies of Colonel Trainer and the other ranchers in the valleys. Damn!
Frank pushed himself out of the chair to take a walk around town. Maybe that would clear his head. He looked across the street at the marshal's office. The old marshal stood out front. Frank would go have a chat with the man. The shadows were getting long as he stepped off the boardwalk and walked across the street.
Marshal.
Morgan, taking the air?
Yep. Gonna be a nice night. What's your name, Marshal? No one told me.
Handlin.
Been Marshal long?
Too damn long. It's just a part-time job. I can't work the land no more, so the people hung this badge on me and gave me a livable salary. My wife died some years back. No one but me to worry about.
This job is likely to get dangerous before too long.
I know it. And I'm too damn old for a lot of rough stuff.
I told the doc to start sending out wires to find a man for the job.
So he didn't tell you?
Tell me what?
We've been trying to hire a new marshal for several months. No one wants to lock horns with Colonel Trainer.
I see. What is Trainer's first name?
Colonel is all I ever heard.
If he's a colonel in the war, he's got to be a few years older than me. I was in the war, too.
I think he's 50. I've heard that a couple of times. Did the doc ask you if you wanted the marshal's job?
Yeah, I told him no.
I don't blame you. This end of the valley is filled with good people, but they're not fighters. They're farmers, and good ones, too. But they're family men, with wives and kids to worry about. Most of them don't even own a pistol. I've never seen any carry one.
And you got that religious bunch?
The Hutterites, yeah. Good, hard-working folks, but they won't fight. They don't believe in it.
Don't believe in defending themselves?
Don't believe in taking a human life.
Frank had heard tell of those types of religious people, but never met any.
Personally, he didn't believe anyone would just stand by and let another person kill him or a beloved one, unless he was some sort of a fool.
Are there any ranchers in the north end of the valleys who want to live in peace?
Oh, sure. Most of the smaller spreads. But the snake is the biggest spread, and the colonel is the top dog. No one wants to buck him.
What are some of the others?
The lightning spread is just about as big as the snake. It's owned by Ken Gilmar. The Diamond 45 is right up there, too. It's owned by Don Bullard. Those are the big three. And all three men are greedy and mean as hell.
And those three you named are gobbling up the smaller ranches.
You got it. Just as fast as they can grab them.
Nice bunch of men. Are they married? Have families?
All of them. They got a whole passel of kids.
Do any of the wives or kids ever come to town? This town, I mean.
They used to, but now, not very often. Too much hard feelings on both sides for that.
Couple of snake riders came here today.
Looking for trouble. And they found it, didn't they?
One of them sure did.
I'm gonna make my early rounds, Morgan. Nice talking with you.
See you around, Marshal.
Frank watched as the Marshal walked slowly away. An old man caught up in a really bad situation that was sure to get worse.
None of this is my business.
Frank walked around the small town until it was full dark, then decided to make one final check on horse and wolf before heading back to the hotel and an early turn-in. He was walking past an alley when he caught a glimpse of someone standing in the darkness. Frank tensed, his hand closing around the butt of his pistol.
Stand still, listen and live, or grab iron and die, Morgan. It's your choice.
I'm standing easy.
You stay that way, Morgan. I'll do the talking.
I'm listening.
You done me a good turn once, way back years ago down in Texas. It don't matter what my name is or was back then. I ain't forgot the favor. Now it's my turn to do you a favor, and this is it. You listen up good. There ain't nothing but trouble for you here. These valleys is fixing to bust wide open with trouble.
I know that.
Good that you do. I heard you was fixing to pull out come morning. You do that. Ride out and don't look back.
That's my plan.
Good. 'Cause if you stay, them big ranchers up at the north end is hiring gun hawks. You'll be in a world of trouble. They'll kill you, Morgan. You probably still about the fastest man in the West with a shotgun. But the odds will be stacked way against you in this fight. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's still big money on your head and some folks looking for revenge for things long done and over.
I know that too.
Then get out of this part of Montana, Morgan. Rattle your hawks, Drifter. This just ain't your fight. This ain't nothing but a death trap waiting to spring on you. Now I done you a favor. We're even. And I'm gone.
Frank heard a whisper of movement that quickly faded away. He walked on past the alley and stepped up to the boardwalk. There he paused for a moment. Frank did not try to recall the favor the voice mentioned. He had done a lot of favors for a lot of people over the years. Everything from a simple handout for someone down on his luck to saving a life. Nor did he feel he would ever know the identity of the voice. Not that it really mattered. Frank watched the man light the street lamps. They cast a very pretty glow on the pleasant evening. He walked over to the livery and once again checked on horse and wolf, then returned to the hotel and went to bed. He planned to buy a pack horse, provision up, and be gone by mid-morning. Frank was jarred out of bed by the sounds of shouting in the street below his hotel room. The shouting increased in intensity. He lit the lamp and checked his watch. 4 o'clock. He dressed quickly, put on his hat, buckled his gun belt around his waist, and stepped out into the hall.
What's going on?
Don't know, but you better get some clothes on.
Frank walked down the stairs and into the dark lobby. He looked around, could find no one, and stepped out to the boardwalk. The street was rapidly filling with men, in various stages of hurried dress.
What's going on?
The Jefferson family, they've been burned out. They're all dead, killed by Night Riders.
The bastards killed the kids, too. Looks like the Night Riders set the house on fire and burned up the whole family.
Frank knew things were only going to go from bad to worse.
and the Jeffersons had a little baby, about 5 months old.
The baby's dead too?
Burnt to a crisp, I was told.
Who found them?
A neighbor heard the shots. By the time he got dressed, saddled up, and over there, it was too late. He couldn't do nothing except watch it burn.
Frank moved on up the street, listening to the men talk. Handheld torches flickered up and down the street. By now, a number of women joined the crowd. They were crying and kicking up a fuss. Frank stepped back and melted into the darkness as Preacher Philpot joined the milling crowd.
It's time to fight! Gird your loins! Pick up your sword and shield!
Well, we've got to do something. Those murdering Knight Riders will attack the town next.
Frank sat down on the edge of the boardwalk and rolled himself a smoke. What he really wanted was a hot cup of coffee, but the Blue Moon Cafe was still dark.
Where is Marshal Hanlon?
Oh, he rode out to the Jefferson place.
Alone?
I reckon so.
That ain't smart. Them Knight Riders might be laying for him.
Frank turned away and spotted the man who ran the livery stable. He walked over to him.
Can you rent me a good horse? Mine is tired. I don't like the idea of Marshal Hanlon out by himself after all that's happened this night.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Come on, you can take mine. He's a good one.
Frank was gone in 5 minutes, after telling Wolf to stay put and then getting directions from the livery owner out to the Jefferson place. The liveryman was right about his personal mount. He was a good one and liked to travel. Frank let him lope for a while, then slowed him down. He caught up with the old marshal several miles before the turnoff to the Jefferson farm.
You mind some company, Marshal?
I'd welcome it. The folks in town send you out to look after me?
No, it was my own idea.
You're not as ornery as folks make you out to be, Frank. There's a decent streak in you a yard wide.
Don't let it get out, Marshal. It'd ruin my reputation.
I'll keep it to myself.
They both could smell the smoke long before they reached the burned-out farmhouse and barn. That and the unmistakable odor of seared human flesh.
Take some real lowlifes to do something like this.
I'd a lower type to send them out to do it.
Agreed. And Colonel Traynor is definitely a lowlife son of a bitch.
The Colonel do you wrong sometime?
Well, not really. He's just a no-good, that's all. I knew that first time I set eyes on him. Thinks he's better than anyone else. Come in here right after the war like some sort of hero, expecting everyone to bow down and lick his boots. A few did. Most didn't. I was one who told him to go to hell. Of course, I was some younger then. He hasn't cared much for me since that time.
Were you in the war, Marshal?
No. I came west before the war started. Me and the wife and kids. The war went on for a year or more before we knew anything about it. We were too busy fighting Indians anyway. It was wild out here back then. Town was mostly burned down twice.
Where are your kids?
All of them went back east as soon as they was old enough. The West wasn't for them. Too hard a life, I reckon. I haven't seen any of them in years. Wouldn't know any of them now if I was to come face to face with them.
Sad.
In a way, yes. But you got to believe everything is done for a reason. Those kids didn't have what it took to live out here. There's a light up ahead. That would be Phil Wilson, probably. Jefferson's nearest neighbor.
Farmer?
Yes. Has a small connecting ranch, too. Nice fella. Real pretty wife and several kids. There's a story behind the two oldest kids. I'll tell it to you sometime.
Marshal? Still too hot to try and find the bodies. It's pretty bad. Horses are burned up, too.
This here's Frank Morgan, Phil. He's just passing through this area and agreed to help me this awful night.
Nice of you. Come on. There isn't much left except in ashes. Frank Morgan?
That's right.
But you're a gun...
He's all right. Lead on, Phil.
As the men drew closer, the smell of burned human flesh grew strong in the night air.
They burned everything.
The marshal looked over at what remained of the barn.
Oh, those poor animals.
I'll look for tracks. Might find a hoof print that stands out.
I'll help. Nothing else we can do.
It's going to be several hours before we can try to retrieve what's left of the bodies. You live far from here, Phil?
Just a hop, skip, and a jump, Mr. Morgan.
You reckon your wife could make up a big pot of coffee?
She sure could. I'd be glad to. I'll ride over and get it going.
It'll give him something to do. One less person stomping around.
It's still too dark to see very good.
It'll be light enough in a few minutes.
Let's hold off until then.
That smell is gonna make me sick, Frank.
Wash your face with water out of your canteen. That might help.
You're not feeling sick?
No. I smelled it before.
I have too. But that was years ago, after a band of bucks burned out a farmer way north of here.
Before the ranchers moved in?
Oh, yeah. These connecting valleys used to be all farms. Colonel Traynor and his men came in and started forcing the farmers out. About 10 years ago, we made the crossroads, the line. Now, I knew it was only a matter of time before the big ranchers started something like this.
Now it's happened.
Yes.
The slow, steady dawn pushed the night away, and Frank began a deliberate circling of the ruins of the farmhouse and barn. He finally found a track he could identify if he ever saw it again. He pointed it out to Marshal Hanlon.
It's a big horse, carrying a big man, looks like to me. It's got a strange mark on that right front shoe.
And the rider's all headed back north.
That goes without saying.
Here comes a wagon.
Phil and his wife, Julie. She's about the best-looking woman in this area. Thank God they left their kids to home.
She doesn't look old enough to have many kids.
They have three. Twins, a boy and a girl, about 14 or 15, and a younger girl, about 8 or 9. I reckon Julie's about 35. But you're right, she don't look it.
Phil's some older, seems like.
Yes, he's in his mid-40s. They came out here when the twins were just babies. He's a good farmer, a good father. But those twins... I'll tell you about them later on. It's a story.
The couple got down from the wagon seat, and Julie pulled a big pot of coffee from the bed of the wagon while Phil got the tin cups.
It's still plenty hot, and Julie just made some biscuits. I brung butter and honey.
Sound good.
This here's Frank Morgan, Julie.
Pleasure to meet you, Mr. Morgan.
Frank, please. Coffee smells good.
I'll put the biscuits and the butter in the back of the wagon. Help yourselves whenever you like. But that smell is really awfully bad. Is that...
Yes. The Jefferson family.
What a terrible thing.
Yes, ma'am. Really is.
Frank poured himself a cup of coffee and went over to a tree and squatted down. He rolled a cigarette and enjoyed a quiet smoke while sipping his cup of really good coffee. Julie came over and sat down on the ground beside him.
Get your dress all dirty.
Oh, it's just an old thing I wear when I'm doing chores.
Looks pretty to me.
Thank you, sir. Are you really Frank Morgan, the famous gunfighter?
I guess so, Julie. But the title of gunfighter was never something I wanted.
I've read a number of books and articles about you. A lot of the articles made you out to be a vicious killer.
Well, I hope now you've met me, you can see I don't quite fit that role.
I do, Mr. Morgan.
Frank, I got some shovels out of the shed. It wasn't burned that bad. You want to try to find the bodies?
Be right there, Marshal. You might not want to see this, Miss Julie. It'll be pretty grim.
You're right.
She held out a hand for Frank to help her up.
I'd better get back and see to the kids. They have chores to do.
She stood up and stood very close to Frank. Close enough to make Frank sort of uncomfortable, for Julie was a handsome woman.
And you know kids. They can find all sorts of ways to shirk their chores.
Yeah. I was the same way when I was a kid.
Frank stood looking at her for a moment. Julie Wilson was simply a beautiful woman. Smelled good, too. He was reluctant to release her hand, and didn't until Marshal Hanlon called again for him.
Come on, Frank. I spotted the bodies.
Be right there, Marshal.
I hope I see you again, Mr. Morgan. And my children would be just thrilled to meet you.
Perhaps we'll see each other again, Miss Julie.
Bye, Mr. Morgan.
Frank walked over to the ruins of the house and picked up one of the shovels Hanlon found.
Right over there.
Let's do it.
They dug out the entire family and the dog. The smell was awful. The men stopped several times to bathe their faces in cold well water to refresh themselves. Wilson and Marshal Hanlon both got sick and stopped to vomit when the body of Mrs. Jefferson literally fell apart while they were picking it up. Frank dragged the several sections of the woman to the side of the burned-out house and covered the pieces with a blanket.
God, I hope to God I never see anything like that again.
I hope the men who did this burn in hell forever. God damn them all to the hellfires.
Might up and go get your wagon, Phil. We'll load them up and take them into town for burial.
Good idea. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Go with him, Marshal. I'll wrap the bodies in that old sack you found in the shed.
You don't mind, Frank?
I've seen worse, Marshal. Much worse.
We'll be back as soon as possible.
Take your time. I'm gonna take mine in doing this, believe me.
Phil, I'm coming with you.
Hanlon walked to his horse and mounted up, riding with Wilson back to the farm. Frank gathered up the raggedy blankets and sacking from the shed and went to work. He almost lost his biscuits and coffee several times.
Damn.
Frank managed to get the job done just as the Wilson wagon came rattling up the road, Hanlon on horseback beside the wagon.
Sure glad you left your wife at home. It's not something she should see.
Oh, now. Yeah, that's what I told her. Then we had sort of a fuss about it. She'll be coming into town later on, riding with some of our neighbors. Several of the older boys and girls in the area will keep all the kids safe.
Word's already gone out through the south end of the valleys. There'll be a big town meeting tonight.
Better leave some men behind with the kids. Men who know how to use guns.
Good idea. I'll see to it personal.
The men loaded the burned bodies in the bed of the wagon, and Wilson and Marshal Hanlon made ready to head back to town.
Coming with us, Frank?
Not yet. I'll be a few minutes behind you. I'm gonna look around a little more.
Frank slowly circled the cleared area around the burned house and barn and found a couple more hoof prints that stood out from the others. He would recognize them if he ever saw them again. There was nothing else for him to do, so he mounted up and headed back to town, catching up with Hanlon and Wilson a few miles later. They met half a dozen farm families standing solemnly by the road as they rolled along toward town. The men and women didn't say a word, just stood silently and watched as the death wagon rolled past, the men standing with hats in hand. Wilson pulled the wagon behind the undertaker's office. Frank headed back to the hotel to wash up and get the smell of death off him, then shave and get into some clean clothes.
They all dead, Mr. Morgan?
All dead, including the dog and some of the horses.
Damn.
Get some hot water up to my room, please.
A half hour later, Frank was cleaned up, packed up, and ready to go. He figured horse would be rested enough for the trail, and Wolf would be ready to go. Now, all he had to do was buy a pack horse and pack saddle, provision up, and get moving. He stopped by the cafe and bought a half dozen biscuits for Wolf. Wolf was glad to see him and the biscuits, and Horse looked fit and trail ready. The liveryman did not question Frank about the Jefferson family, sensing Frank did not want to talk about that morning's events. Frank bought a pack horse, then walked over to the general store for supplies. He bought coffee, beans, salt, bacon, potatoes, flour, and cartridges for pistol and rifle. Back at the livery, he paid his bill, then packed up and was ready to swing into the saddle.
You're not going to stay with us, Mr. Morgan?
No.
Heaven's a nice town.
Yes, it is. Very pleasant.
Be a nice place to settle down in.
I sure seen a lot worse.
Well, maybe you'll come back.
Might do that.
Frank mounted up and headed out without another word. People gathered on the boardwalk on both sides of the street to watch the gunfighter ride out. A few raised their hands in farewell, including Marshal Hanlon.
Come back and see us, Frank.
Frank touched the brim of his hat in reply and headed for the crossroads, putting the town of Heaven behind him. There was nothing else for him here. Nothing else for him to do. Except get involved in a war. That was not something he wanted. Frank looked down at Wolf, padding along beside him.
Let's go see some country, Wolf.